S-R-O.
You're listening to a Sonoma County original, The Drive with Steve Jackson on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
All righty. Once again, I want to thank Michael Bug Deacon, our good friend from Reclamation Road Radio, for calling in with a poem that he wrote for my birthday today. This is well done. Once a year, there comes a day that older doth make better. Some are dry when none bring wine, and some are mostly wetter. He started off in old Detroit and became a radio hack. And though he was born Vicario, he ended up with Jack. A lot of my close friends call me Jack for Jackson. And Jackson is my radio name and has been for 42 years. Happy birthday, old pal, Bugster. Thank you. Tomorrow, another great Reclamation Road Radio in the 5 o'clock hour, as we do every Tuesday. All right. It is Monday, and that means it's time for Justice Gone Wild with the great local attorney, Michael Fumara, who is especially festive today. What is the hat you're wearing? It's an elf kind of thing with big ears.
It's just a hat. By the way, happy birthday, Jack, since now you told the whole world that your real name is really Jack.
And well, that's my nickname, yeah.
Well, it's a good name. My hat is just a little festive thing for maybe when I run for DA. I can have it here and just have a little bit more fun. Little Santa's elves doing all the dirty work behind the scenes. I like it all.
I'm voting for you, my friend.
Well, we have to really stir things up.
Oh, look, the whole thing's moving.
Everything moves and everything lights up.
Michelle, are you seeing this? This is her stuff. She's going to love this. What the hell are they singing?
You can just change the words from Santa to DA to political hack to Measure A supporters. Everyone is in there with their hands in the till. All right, thank you.
Mike, make sure you get a photo of this to put on Facebook. That's beautiful. Michael Fumara, welcome back.
Thank you.
It is Justice Gone Wild, and we got some wild things to talk about. You were bringing this up during the break, and let me go to this now, because this is fascinating to me. Highway 101 at the Marin-Sonoma County line has been a problem for years. Castania Road, we all hear about it. You hear Michael Green talking about problems at Castania Road at the county line. Explain what you were telling me during the break.
Well, about 3 years ago, one of our clients actually had a horrific accident at that intersection or that part of the highway where the San Antonio Creek comes in and floods the entire. Actually, all the lanes are flooded, and that's because
What happened last week.
Yeah, that's what happened especially when the tide is very high at the same time that we get a great deal of rainfall. But in any event, our client was so seriously injured that the Caltrans decided to settle the case for $5.2 million. But that took 3.5 years because they had to go through all kinds of maturations and speak to the governor even just to get the funding. But wow. It happened, and the client was happy. He moved out of the area, and he's gone. But he doesn't have to deal with that roadway anymore. But the good news is that sometimes Justice Gone Wild or bad things end up as good things, because when bad things happen, people sometimes react. Sometimes that's the only time. Right now, $51 million has been funded to construct a new bridge that's going to be 10 feet higher than the current twin spans over that creek. And believe it or not, they were built in 1916 and upgraded in the 50s when I was born.
1916.
16 with a 1-6. That's right. That's where.
And what did they do in the 50s? Not much.
Not much, apparently. They may have cleaned out a culvert or actually done a little bit of side improvement, but it was window dressing because the highway is substandard, and they even admit to that it was not up to highway standards. And yet that road has existed for, feels like hundreds of years, but for decades, very unsafe, very curved. In fact, they're going to remove part of the curve. That's the bottleneck.
They're going to straighten out that curve, yeah.
That's right.
And it's not just accidents and things like that, which are horrific, but we all know about the delays, as I mentioned.
Delays.
You hear our traffic man, Michael Green, talking about it all the time. Castania Road, county line. So the your lawsuit and settlement with Caltrans, $5.2 million, now they're finally going to raise this road above the floodwaters.
Right, 10 feet.
Any idea when they may begin and how long it'll take?
Yes. The catalyst was the lawsuit, inevitably, because we were told that they have really looked into this, and we were right. They wouldn't have given or settled the case for that much money anyway. They probably would have made us go through trial like the last case we had. But bottom line is that this 2.8 mile section will not actually be completed until 2015. It's not going to have all the stripes either. It's going to continue to be no carpool lane. It's going to be pretty hard to maneuver until they get the entire $250 million project approved from Novato to Petaluma. They're waiting for all of that to happen. It's a $250 million appropriation and upgrade.
Wow.
And our Senator McGuire is fighting real hard on our behalf to have that happen. He's really fighting hard because he knows the value of the lifeblood line for Sonoma County is 101. And we all know that. And we all need to realize that that's something that has to be done. It's long overdue.
This freaks me out that Caltrans is saying, okay, we're going to now upgrade since 1916 and the 1950s. We're finally going to upgrade the highway to what they call freeway standards. Well, it's a freeway.
Well, we know that.
Now, in 2015, we're going to get it up to freeway standards.
And they should be spending taxpayer money on infrastructure, and that's something that you just wonder why it hasn't been done and why it hasn't been done up to this point, especially when the property owners on both sides are flooded. But they're just, I guess, old-time farmers or I don't know why they haven't done it, but there hasn't been enough push or complaint. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease or the oil, and in this case, the lawsuit really was the catalyst. That's what I believe.
We're with, of course, Michael Fumara, longtime great local attorney. The segment is Justice Gone Wild. Jim Morris is here.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
What's happening?
This is Michael Fumara. This is Jim Morris.
He talks to you.
That's a beautiful thing.
Well, it has lights and bells. It keeps things going.
That's my birthday hat.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. Happy birthday.
You're with McPhail, of course, winery. No, that's okay. Turn it off.
Am I really?
I think I've had enough, Michael.
I'm still there.
No, I know you are. Right? No, but thank you.
It's your birthday, Steve.
Yeah, that's
what they have birthday libations.
Really? Well, now I can go home tonight and open a can of Spam and have a good bottle of wine with it.
It's one of the best Spam and wine pairings you're going to have. A couple of bottles of Chardonnay.
Oh, you know, I love my Chard.
I just know, so.
And again, special thanks to Kristen Byrne, who had her 12-year-old son and babysitter drive from their house, which is close by. And she said while she was in the studio, she called her 12-year-old son and said, have the babysitter drive you over and pick a really good bottle of wine because nobody brought Steve wine for his birthday tonight.
Oh.
So I got a killer Buena Vista Pinot and now some McPhail's Shard. So
and
I'm
now
gonna,
I feel bad.
I might even drink one with you.
All right.
So.
Well, we're going to head over to Johnny Garlic's afterwards to have a little birthday celebration. Okay.
Well, I didn't bring any. I feel badly, so I'm going to have to go to my cellars and get one, right?
You brought the hat. I love the hat.
The hat gone wild, right? The hat has gone
wild. Can you stick around?
I'm here. I'm
here
for you.
Okay, good. Thank you. God love you. Steve love you. Okay.
The bat signal went up.
We don't need to. Oh, no, we don't need to take a break. Okay. You heard Curtis Byrd, who, of course, ran for Santa Rosa City Council. I voted for him. I was hoping he'd get in. He is a member of the board of the NAACP in Sonoma County. His mother is the head of the NAACP. And I do believe you heard him. We re-ran it once, so he was on twice last week. It was
right.
It was fascinating. And you started to hit me to this about the local NAACP doing a report card on local agencies, City of Santa Rosa, City Council, Board of Supervisors, everybody.
That's right. I have that report
refresh
card still
everyone,
here.
Refresh everyone's memory.
That report card was done by the NAACP by getting a group, or I should say groups of people and organizations together in the county to evaluate the different agencies and how they operate and what their biases are, especially when it comes to minorities, to the Latino community, to the black community and to other groups that are affected by bias and discrimination. And they gave grades out. And I know the district attorney got a D for district attorney, D for D, D for district attorney, F for the sheriff, F for the Santa Rosa Police Department. The only group that did okay, I thought, was a C minus for the
Board of Supervisors.
Board of Supervisors.
Yeah. So. Explain consent decrees.
Okay.
Well, a decree, I'm sorry.
A consent decree is one in which the federal government, through the Civil Rights Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division, will actually force a city or a jurisdiction to come to terms with the police practices, procedures, and methodologies for force and escalation or de-escalation, especially in our case when we have Andy Lopez, who had been killed by a police officer who maybe didn't de-escalate things, but escalated it to the point where in a few seconds he was shot to death. We had a case like this in Cleveland. The Tamar child, Tamar Rice, was actually shot to death within a few seconds of the police arriving, and they did so in a manner that was so egregious that the federal government decided that there needed to be a moderation, a mediator come in and oversee some of the police practices. And that's what we need in Sonoma County, because we've had the commission here in 1998. It was February 20th, 1998. I just found my documentation because I'm planning on sending my own letter and report to the commission in Washington, D.C., because this has to be looked at. There's a national movement now. There was a die-in downtown this Saturday. We need to do something. We have to hit while the iron's hot.
As you have mentioned to me, consent decrees have been imposed now in Albuquerque. We know that story.
Seattle.
Detroit, Seattle, New Orleans, Washington, and of course Cleveland after that recent killing.
Yes, and hopefully Santa Rosa.
And you think it should be done in Santa Rosa?
Well, I do. I think this whole county, I mean, 72 deaths from what I have in police hands and police custody is a little outrageous for a very, I'd say, semi-rural community, less than 500,000 people, and very low crime rate. I mean, it's just too much. It was happening one a month. I just think it's outrageous, and I think that I'm not the only one to say this. I've had I'm privy to other attorneys and other people in this community sending the same kind of request to the Department of Justice. And I know it may be pissing some people off, but you know what? I can't live for them. I want what's right. I want my community safe. I know there's going to be felons released because of Prop 47, but I also know that we have to stop the killings. It's just not something that we should be doing as a civilized society.
All right. And we're not Jill Ravitch bashing.
Who?
I'm not, even though I agree with what you've been saying for the last number of weeks when it comes to that. We had a woman who I would guess is a good friend of Jill's or a big supporter who emailed and thought you were attacking Ms. Ravitch.
No, not at all.
This is a wide open forum, so if anyone wants to call in to rebut anything Michael Fumar has said or is saying, you're certainly welcome at 636-1350.
Well, Jill will tell you that I helped her with her when she left the DA's office for a short time. I volunteered to actually work with her, give her cases, refer cases to her, and she even said that at a few forums. I have nothing personally against her. I just think that the DA's office could have handled this Lopez matter a lot differently and a lot better.
You think it should have gone to Kamala Harris, the DA of California.
Absolutely. You're reading my mind, yes.
Yeah.
And I also think that giving a chance to the, well...
I said DA, I'm an attorney general.
I know. But the an open jury, it's called the, I was going to say the jury system, but that's not it, it's the grand jury. And I think they have their problems too. Every state is regulated differently. And
well,
so,
yeah, look what all these problems have caused lately in both Ferguson and New York with the,
exactly.
You know, and now Cleveland, the officer who shot Tamir Rice that's going to a DA, I mean to a grand jury, I'm sorry. And we shall see. It's going to be interesting.
That's right. There's very few, grand jury indictments in the country.
But they say, you know, the old saying, and we discussed this a week or so ago, some attorneys say that a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich if the prosecutor says...
Oh, if you're a citizen, yes. If you're not a police officer, there's a different standard. It's especially if the DA has a commitment to really fight for justice, they will convict or indict so quickly, it'll blow your hair back.
So if you're just a citizen, you're a ham sandwich, and if you're a police officer, you're a BLT with extra dressing, and I don't know where I'm going here. Never mind. Let me forget that one.
Well, I just want to say
I should have thought about it for a moment. I could have come up with something funny, but it's my birthday, so
that's right.
Screw everyone. Leave me alone.
happy birthday again. We have to give you some leeway here on that. And the hat, we can
put the hat on.
Yeah, I think the hat would just add a little color and a little festivity. It has, it's green and red, and it has lots of lights and Dumbo ears. And I actually wore that for the Sonoma County Bar right after the religious invocation that they had. I came in and said, well, what about the atheists? And I put this song on, and everybody thought it was funny, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe people are offended by atheists. I happen to not be an atheist, but I just thought, why not fight for the underdog? That's what I'm used to doing. I've always done
that.
That
is what you do. In fact, Terry Price, political consultant, who was on the show just before Michael, and they know each other and have for a long time, and they were chatting it up in the green room, and he said to me, Terry did, this is a man who fights really hard for the right reasons.
That's the only reason I think I'm in the practice of law, is because it gives me an opportunity to change things or cases or points of view, and actually the law case by case. But it's public policy and the politicians who have a greater opportunity to make greater changes. That's probably why I worked for Mayor Koch in New York. It's probably why I was a city planner before I was an attorney, because I thought policy was where the issues were, where the fight was. And I say that, you know, with a heavy heart, because I gave up city planning to get into the practice of law. I thought I was going to make more changes, but they're much more incremental in law. They're case by case, and sometimes it's frustrating because you don't always win cases. And oftentimes people think attorneys just win cases. We don't. We have to fight real hard in the trenches against great obstacles. And I don't care if the burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt. It's extraordinarily difficult when you have the whole weight of the state on you and all their money and all their expertise. And if they want to put the thumb on you and get you, they're going to get you, and they will. I probably will be gotten by someone soon.
Oh, don't say that. We got to take one last look at traffic, and then there's a Justice Gone Wild tidbit that Michael showed me that I think is worth talking about. We'll be back after traffic. All right, it's 5:52. It is Justice Gone Wild with Michael Fiumara. We do it every Monday in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, I was sent this, and again, we're not cop bashing in any way, but
no.
A former officer for a Shasta County Police Department was sentenced to 5 years in prison for sexually assaulting a woman that he was taking to jail. What are more of the details on that?
Well, actually, he was taking a prisoner or a detainee to jail, just like the CIA with those jails and detainees, but different. He was taking her to jail, and he decided to sexually assault her. But he only got 1 year.
Did he do it in the cop car? Or
they
what?
Never got into those details. Come on, Jack. I mean, that's pretty bad. I mean, to give us those details, I think the paper would be banned. But by the way, my brother was a police officer in New York and worked really hard with some of the worst criminals and the worst offenders. So I understand how hard the job is, but I don't know what she did. She may have been a shoplifter or some kind of highfalutin criminal, who knows, but she didn't have to be sexually assaulted. And when she was, he got 1 year in state prison, but the state realizes there's a little loophole here, because he didn't get a more harsher penalty because she was not yet, quote, booked, end of quote.
He assaulted her. The assault occurred before she was actually officially booked, so they gave him 1 year, and then the state of California lawmakers said, whoa, this doesn't make sense.
Only after a federal lawsuit was filed by her family, and then in federal court, he got a higher and much more egregious penalty because the law was different on the federal level, because there are differences between state and federal law. And
so that loophole has been closed.
Yes, it has, by our lawmakers.
By Sacramento.
Yes, so that's a good thing. Law, justice has gone wild, but has a solution, has done well. So justice can go wild at first, but it can get better.
We were talking about grand juries. A caller wants to know about open grand juries.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know what that means. But
I don't either. But the open grand juries could mean that we have a grand jury always in operation in the county, which would be funded. And that is something the NAACP really wants, is funded and open juries or grand juries, so that it's a continuous operation.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. But in a market this size, an area this size, there probably would never be enough money to have an open grand jury.
Unless we got together with Marin County and maybe another county to pool our resources, because really something like that is good to get citizen input and more transparency. We always talk about transparency, and that's what we need, is transparency in government and also under the law and full justice, equal justice. So that's where I think that would go. And I also really favor some sort of input from the people, just like Julie Combs has done very well with those robocalls. I'm so glad that that statute or ordinance was passed. It was one of the strictest in the whole United States, as was said earlier. And I know that it's really effective. So that's what we have to do. We have to be vigilant. And the laws that work, we need to work with the policymakers, and the laws that don't, they need to get off the books.
The vice mayor, the new vice mayor of Santa Rosa, Chris Corsi, was in earlier, and then also political consultant Terry Price. You know them both. You know
Yes.
them well. And we talked about the Santa Rosa Firefighters Union being fined over their robocalls before the election, and it had to do with reforming the public safety sales tax measure O. Both Chris Corsi and Lee Pierce, in their campaigns, were taking positions that Measure O should be looked at and possibly reformed. The robocalls were made by the Firefighters Union on October 25th, claiming those two candidates, Pierce and Corsi, quote, want to make Santa Rosa a more dangerous place to live. Now, obviously, as Corsi called it, an outrageous lie and beyond the pale, as has Terry Price and so many others. They were fined $2,000. There were two problems, two violations. None of them had to do with the content, because basically, I guess, unless it's slander, you can't do anything about that. But it had to do with not having the opt-out possibility on your phone when you get a robocall. And the other one was not letting people know who was paying for these robocalls. So they got fined $1,000 for each penalty. That's $2,000.
Big deal. That's not a big incentive, no, as you know. That's no incentive at all. The union.
But that's what Julie had spearheaded, and I agree that, you know, but it's hard to believe. You say that's one of the toughest rules about robocalls in the country, but yet it's only $2,000 to a firefighters union, and they got a lot of money.
There must have been a compromise when that was for it to be passed. They probably had $10,000 at first, but they thought it wouldn't get passed, so they lowered the amount to $1,000. There's a lot of juggling and political negotiation that goes on before a law is enacted, and that's the unfortunate part of that. But I don't think it's any incentive at all. I mean, it's a start, but it needs to be strengthened a little bit more. But I have to give kudos to the city attorney, because she did investigate, and it sounds like she did a pretty good investigation. So where credit's due, I say good job.
Michael Fumara and Justice Gone Wild. We do it every Monday on The Drive. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something about the CIA stuff. I brought you a little caption. It says, relax, it's just the CIA. And you have somebody on a rack being stretched. It looks like Jesus almost. I mean, it's so medieval. But I wanted to know what the heck it says, at least five men in the CIA on detention received rectal rehydration, a form of feeding through the rectum. The report found no medical necessity for the treatment. No lives were saved, according to the Senate report. No American lives were saved by these torturous procedures and devices and mean torture and whatever you want to call the horror, the chambers of horrors. But yet, I mean, someone who was tortured very much during the Vietnam War came against this, well, came, or I'll put it this way, he's against his own party's ruling. He does not want this to continue, and that is John McCain. I have to give him a lot of credit. So,
yeah, I was surprised, although when you think about it, yes, he was tortured in Vietnamese prison camp.
Exactly, and yet he sees that torture is not the end all, and it's something that really should be out of our framework. I mean, if we're going to take the high road and tell the rest of the world they can't torture, they should not torture, and yet we're doing it, especially with these black sites in Poland and all over the world, and our CIA is doing this to other foreigners, what are they going to be doing to us, and what can they do to us? And I think the Senate report also states that the phones were sort of fooled around with or monkeyed around with, and I think Senator Feinstein said, look, it must be the CIA doing this. Maybe it's paranoia, but still, you wonder if they're doing this to others around the world. What can they do to us? That's a scary notion.
And the fact that Dick Kaboom Cheney on Meet the Press yesterday said, and I quote, "I would do it again in a second." He's admitting, I guess, that he had so much to do with it. We got to split. Michael Fumara. Fumara.com. It's Justice Gone Wild every Monday. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The
Thank
Drive.
You. Sonoma.